So I thought this morning we would do a Hanukkah topic, and this one I particularly like, and that is about the relationship between Hallel and Hanukkah, which affects the way we sing Hallel and Hanukkah, but also affects the way we look at the menorah. I'm going to stipulate right at the outset, yes, it's not a menorah, it's a Hanukkiah. Fine. Understood. Everyone says menorah anyway. The difference, obviously, is a menorah has how many branches?
Seven
branches, right? That's what you light in the Beis HaMikdash. A Chanukiah has eight branches, which is what we light on Hanukkah. All understood. I'm going to keep on saying menorah. So the question that I want to start with is in source number one. Source number one is the Rambam's Laws of Hanukkah. It's specifically, it's Perek Gimel. The Rambam puts the laws of Hanukkah sort of back-to-back with other laws. He does that with some of the Amim Tovim, like Shofar, Sukkah, Lulav, are all one set of halachos. So similarly here, that's Hanukkah actually starts in Perek Gimel. But look at what he does here. It's really interesting. He starts out with the story of Hanukkah, and I didn't bring the entire halacha, I just showed you like where he's going. So in halacha Aleph, he gives you the story about what the Greeks did in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Then in halacha Beis, he talks about the dedication that occurred on Chavei Kislev and the oil, the whole bit. And then in halacha Gimel, he says, therefore the Chachamim created a takana, they created an enactment. Look at what he says the takana was. He says, "Mipneiza hiskinu chacham shabaoso hador." Therefore, the chachamim of that generation made a rule. Sheyu shmonas hayamim ha'elu shatchilasan milel hamisha ve'esem beKislev. That these 8 days, starting from the night of the 25th of Kislev, should be yimei simcha v'halel, days of joy, days of halel. Umadlikin bahen haneros ba'erev, and we also light candles in the evening al pischei abatim, at the entrance to the homes, each night of the 8 nights, in order to demonstrate the nes. These are all Hanukkah, you don't eulogize, and so on. Then in Halakha Dalet, he says, who's obligated in Ner Hanukkah? Those who are obligated in Megillah. Why does he make that comparison? Well, because of the Mitzvah Seishas Mangrama problem. You should be, right, everyone other than me sitting at the table here should be exempt from Neros Hanukkah, you should be exempt from lighting the menorah, because it is a time-bound commandment.
How,
exactly. And there's a third one in the set. What's the third one in the set? Nope. Arba Kosos on Pesach. These three are all active mitzvahs. They're all commandments. They're all time-bound. Women should be exempt, and yet they're obligated in all three. Asks the Gemara, why is it that women are obligated in these three? And its answer is, Af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. They were also in that miracle. There's some debate as to what exactly that means. It means that they were also in danger and they were saved, or it means that they helped engineer the nes. There's a debate about how to take the line. But it's those three specifically, and not Sukkah, because these are derabbanans. These are
derabbanans. We're not high in Sukkah either. And
correct.
It was also like a protection of a miracle. It was a miracle.
So. Correct. Afin hayu ba'oso hanes is not somehow a new class of mitzvah, like mitzvahs that are time-bound, but there was a miracle that women were involved with. It's not the way it works. Rather, when the Rabbanan made takanos, when the Rabbanan created mitzvahs, they generally modeled them on a deraisa. But with these three, because women were involved in the nes, they said, you know, we're scrapping the biblical model, and instead we're going to say women are obligated also. But it's a feature of derabbanan. It doesn't have any application to deraisa. So that's Tosfos' explanation. So that's why he makes the comparison here. He says, if you're obligated in Megillah, you're obligated in Hanukkah, in Ner Hanukkah. And then he tells you in Halacha Hey, and this is where things get a little odd. He says, B'chol yom b'yom mishmonas hayam ha'elu gomer nes ha'halel. Each day of Hanukkah, you say a complete halel, and he gives you the brachos, and he says, whether you are saying halel privately, whether you are saying it in private sibur, that's because there is some discussion about private halel versus communal halel on Rosh Chodesh. And then he says, even though it's a derabbanan, nonetheless, you still say the bracha of asher kedushan mitzvah v'tzivanu, which is a discussion in the Gemara about that saying that bracha derabbanan. Hashem didn't command us. We did it. But Hashem commanded us to observe mitzvahs derabbanan. And then in halacha vav, not only halal of Hanukkah, which is midibrei sofrim, which is rabbinic, but not only is the halal of Hanukkah rabbinic, but also Hallel is always rabbinic. That's true. Every time you say a whole halal fundamentally is a derabanan. It's not a deraisa. Rosh Chodesh is even less. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag.
And on Pesach also?
Even on Pesach, except possibly at the Seder.
Right.
So halal at the Seder may have a unique status. But halal in terms of the one that you say in tefillah is a derabanan. And he then goes on, look what he does here. Halacha Zayin. He says, Mekomo she'osin yamim tovim shnei yamim. In other words, outside of Eretz Yisrael, where you have a second day of Yom Tov, so you end up saying halal 21 days out of the year. And then Halacha Ches, he talks about when you say half halal, what exactly you skip. In other words, the Rambam has decided to hijack Hilchos Chanukah and turn them into Hilchos Halal. If you were creating the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, right, his work of law, in which he very carefully classifies each area of halacha and puts each thing in its own unit, he's the first one that we have, at any rate, surviving, the first one to write a halachic text in which he creates sections based on the subject matter. Where would you have put the halachos of halal? Tefillah, right? Tefillah was a reasonable answer. Tefillah includes a lot of things. Exactly, like Nisias Kapayim, Duchening is in Tefillah, so that would make sense, yeah.
No, I was just asking if there is a chapter Tefillah.
Oh, yes, there's a big, big section called Hilchos Tefillah. It includes all sorts of fun things, and not this. This is in Hilchos Hanukkah. Where else might I have put it, for that matter?
Maybe Hilchos Yom Tov.
Hilchos Yom Tov, right? General Hilchos Yom Tov. Right? That would make sense. We have other halachas of Yom Tov. We have a thing called Hilchos Yom Tov. Why isn't this in Hilchos Tefillah? Why isn't this in Hilchos Yom Tov? Why is it instead found in Hilchos Chanukah?
So that's actually the only place it's written, like in his...
He mentions halal elsewhere, but the halachas of it, yeah, are here.
You reference here.
Yes.
Yeah. You sort of did the same thing with the mentioning of the Megillah. You sort of did the same thing. He probably spoke about in Mitzvot's Megillah about the Mitzvah Seishas Man Grama, Afi Mayu Bozo, and Ace. He probably spoke about it there.
Yes.
And now he just references it.
Yeah,
he just references there. Out of all the three places, he just chose Megillah to discuss it there.
Right, so sometimes you'll say, well, it has to go somewhere, so pick one of the places. But here,
like,
Hanukkah?
Giving it, like, importance, or in future years, people might remove the need to say halal or question the requirement.
So he feels bad for Hanukkah.
Right.
And says, let's bolster Hanukkah a little bit.
So it needs special mention.
But he already has a lot of text on Neros Hanukkah. Like, he's going to do a whole long thing. He stopped here to do Hallel, but then he comes back to Neros Hanukkah and has, like, a whole perek on, you know, what you light, when you light, who lights, you know, where he's supposed to put it. Like, he has plenty to say. It will be difficult to say he's just doing it because he didn't have that much to say.
No, or because
he wants to bolster it.
Because also people might question the reason to say halal on Hanukkah. Like, it might be like a very, you know, slim connection to them, and then they wouldn't say it on Hanukkah. They would say it on all the other Yantzis.
I would have done that Rosh Chodesh then. I would have done Rosh Chodesh because that's the one that's the most questionable out of all of them. So there are a couple of stages to this, but we're going to see a couple of answers to this question of why he puts this here. And the first answer to it is because Hallel is actually more of the mitzvah of Hanukkah than lighting the menorah.
Wow.
Which is totally not, mm-hmm. you know, what we learned at school. It's certainly not what people think about. You know, when people think about Hanukkah, it's immediately, do I have oil yet? You know, that kind of thing. No one thinks about it in terms of halal. But it's totally, you'll see, there's a lot of evidence for this. First of all, basic evidence. Take a look at source number two, the Gemara in Shabbos. You know that there is no such thing as Maseches Hanukkah. The key text in the Gemara about Hanukkah is found in Maseches Shabbos. And the reason it's there is because the Gemara is talking about, the Mishnah really, is talking about what fuels and wicks you're allowed to use for Shabbos candles. The rule is that you don't use, when you're dealing with Shabbos, you don't use anything which, number one, could produce a bad smell, or number two, could produce light that flickers. You want these lights to be used. You want people to have them at their Shabbos table and all that. So you don't want something with a bad smell. No one's going to want them at their Shabbos table. And you don't want light that flickers, because then somebody might adjust the lamp. So that's your restriction when it comes to Shabbos candles. And once they're discussing that, they say, well, what about the Shabbos Hanukkah? Because maybe there are certain rules for what you're going to use for Hanukkah. And the rule for Hanukkah is basically anything goes as long as it's going to burn well. That's the only thing we want to make sure. It's going to last for the proper time and provide a light that people can see. But there's no further requirement. I think did I do the shear here last? I don't know. We did about oil versus wax and which one you prefer. Okay, so we talked about that already last year. I'm sure everybody already knows it. The discussion then becomes, well, what about if it's Shabbos and Hanukkah? Then what do you light? And there we get all the rules for Hanukkah. That's where the Gemara does it. So if you take a look at source number two, this is where the Gemara presents the origin of Hanukkah. The Gemara says, hey, wait a minute, you talked to us about what you can use. My Hanukkah, what exactly is this Hanukkah thing anyway? Right? At some point, someone has to ask that question. Detanu Rabbanan, Brisa says, B'chav hei b'kislev, yomei d'chanukah t'manya inun. On the 25th of Kislev, there are 8 days of Hanukkah. There are those who like to pick up on this language. It sounds like it's 8 days on the 25th. It just means starting on the 25th. The Kislev don't get hung up on it. D'lola mispeh b'hon, u'd'lola his'anos b'hon. No eulogizing, no fasting. Shekeshenich nesu yevanim le'echol, timu kol hashmanim shebe'echol. Because when the Greeks entered the Heichal, entered the sanctuary, they contaminated all of the oil. And when the Chashmonoim triumphed over them, they found only one jug of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. There was only enough for one day. Miracle happens. They light for 8 days. L'shana acheres, the next year, kav'um v'asa'um yamim tovim b'halel v'hoda'ah. The next year, they established them as Yamim Tovim with Hallel and Hodah, thanks to Hashem. What did it not mention was established the next year?
To light.
It's not there. Not that the Gemara is denying the mitzvah. That was very, very, very clear here. There absolutely is a mitzvah of lighting the menorah. However, the Gemara chooses to emphasize Hallel and Hodah. Similarly, in Al Hanisim, right, I didn't bring you Al Hanisim on here, but hopefully by this time next week, everyone will have it, in their heads. But in Al Hanisim, when we talk about the Nes as well, Bimei, Batisya Ben Yochanan, etc., you look through the entire Al Hanisim, you will not find any mention of lighting the menorah. You will see that Al Hanisim says that they enacted Lahodos to Lahalel Lishimcha Gadol. That's there to thank and to sing Hallel. The only thing that is mentioned in Al Hanisim is V'hidliku Neiros B'chatzos Kodshecha. It says that when they came back to the Beis Hamikdash, they lit candles in Chatzros Kodshecha, the yards of your sanctum. However, it is agreed in general that that's not talking about menorah. That's not talking about menorah. How do you know it's not talking about menorah?
Because you don't light in the chatzos.
Yeah. Chatzos Kodshecha, your yards. The menorah is in the Heichal, the inner room in the Beis HaMikdash. It's also not plural, it's singular. Chatzos, is plural. I wanted to see if I brought it on here, but I didn't. But there's a nice piece in Likutei Sichos of Lubavitcher Rebbe. He talks about it, but it's pretty much agreed. That's not talking about menorah. So the first approach to why Hallel makes it into Hilchos Hanukkah, that's where you're putting it, is because that's actually the key mitzvah on Hanukkah. I'm going to go a little further with this idea. There are some achronim who actually suggest, I think the idea is problematic, but they do suggest that they didn't create menorah at all. The practice of lighting the Chanukiah was not an original Hanukkah practice, but it actually morphed in later on. I tend to think that some of the evidence is forced, but I'll show you what they say. I mean, these are mainstream sources. This is not something that's way out. The Chasdei Avos, writing in the 19th century, suggests that menorah was actually created when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed as a way to remember the Beis HaMikdash. And only later does it become something that's done for Hanukkah. He notes this Rabbi Yitzchak Yehuda Trunk was the Chasdei Avos. So he notes the Gemara in Shabbos that we noted here, and he notes the language of the Rambam, where he emphasizes first Hallel v'Hoda, right in Halacha Gimel. First he mentions Hallel, and then he says, and they light lamps. So it almost sounds like the lamps are a secondary thought. He also notes a famous Ramban. Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha. If you remember the flow at the end of Parshas Nasa, beginning of Parshas Baaloscha. So that whole beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is when the Jews are getting ready to... Well, first of all, is when the Jews have dedicated the Mishkan. So in Parshas Naso, you get the repetition of all of the gifts brought by the Nisim, right? You have 12 Nisim who bring gifts, and that runs right into the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha, where we're told what Aaron should do when he lights the menorah. That juxtaposition is strange. We already know about lighting the menorah. Lighting the menorah was a command given earlier. Parshas Tetzaveh already talks about what kind of oil to use. Why are you in Parshas Baaloscha suddenly talking about lighting the menorah? It's very strange. So the Medrash is bothered by that, and the Medrash's answer is that Aaron is upset because he is missing out on the opportunity to bring Karbanos, or he, Shevet Levi, are missing out on the opportunity to bring the gifts that the Nesiim brought. Right? Because the 12 Nesiim who brought exclude Shevet Levi. Ephraim and Manasseh are the ones who make up 12. Levi is out. Levi doesn't get to bring a gift. And Aaron is upset. And so the Medrash says, Hashem says, don't worry about it. You have the menorah. Take a look at number 3, please, because look what Ramban has to say. He says, he's found in the Medrash Tanchuma as well as in Bamidbar. Rabba, Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Leich Mor LaAharon Al Tisyarei. Hashem says to Moshe, go tell Aaron, don't fear. L'gdola Mizos HaTamuchan, you get something better. HaKarbanos calls Manja Beis HaMikdash Kayim Hei Noagin. Karbanos are only going to be valid as long as you have a Beis HaMikdash. Aval HaNeiros, La'olam El Mul Pnei Menorah Ye'iru. The candles are always going to burn towards the face of the menorah. That's the way that the Torah describes them. All the brachas I gave you to bless my children will never disappear. So you have two things. You have balos chasaneros, and you also have birchas kohanim, which is also found in Parshas Nasa. But that's the Medrash. So he says, V'hinei davar yadua shekshein beis hamikdash kayim v'akarbanos betelim v'vein churbano afaneros betelim. Ramban is bothered. He says, what do you mean? Lighting the menorah also stops when the karbanos stop. What did you do here? Aval lo ramzu el laneros hanukas hashmonoi shehino heges af la'achar churban v'galuzenu. The answer is that he's also hinting at the neros of the dedication by the Hashmonaim, which continue even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash when we are in exile. So he argues that this Hanukkiah, this lighting that we're doing for Hanukkah, is actually post-Beis HaMikdash as a way to continue what was in the Beis HaMikdash. I feel like it is somewhat forced, because he said also after. He didn't say it's only after. That's his argument. It's clear the Rambam does not believe this. Meaning the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos is very clear that he believes Hanukkah is core. But that's his argument. Rabbi Tzalal Zolti, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, came to the same idea that the lighting is actually a Zecher LeMikdash, but he brings some other sources to support it. He notes that the enactment of lighting the Hanukkiah for Hanukkah is modeled on the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Take a look at source number 4, which is the Ravid commenting on the Rambam in the laws of brachos. He says, the Ravid is talking about what bracha what the language of the bracha on the menorah should be. Is it al hadlakat menorah, or Hanukkiah, or al hadlakat ner Hanukkah? Or is it lahadlik ner Hanukkah? So that's the debate. And the Ravid writes, commenting on the Rambam, that the bracha of lahadlik, well, take a look. He says, v'im yomar, if someone would say, kol mitzvah shehimi divrei hamomer al Shikain Rishus. He says, you're trying to tell me there's a rule. Some say that there's a rule. That all brachos that take place on rabbinic mitzvos have al, the formula of al. They because it's sort of like we're commanded about this, but not that you were commanded you have to do it. So he says, well, near Hanukkah we say leh. We say lehalik, even though it's rabbinic. Maybe that's because there's no set amount of light, so it's different. Maybe because this bracha starts with the lighting in the Beis HaMikdash, which is biblical, and therefore they made the Hanukkah one modeled on the biblical one, and therefore just like the biblical one is lehadlik, so too the menorah is lehadlik because it's modeled on the one that you're doing in the Beis HaMikdash. There are a couple of other sources that he brings to try to support this idea, and he contends that it's indeed enacted after the Korban. I don't find that idea so compelling, but I do find compelling the idea that Hallel, in fact, was the principal mitzvah of Hanukkah, and Chanukiah, as important as it is, right, lighting, as important as it is not as important as Hallel is.
So had the story of the Hashmanim and Makif not happened, we wouldn't be lighting candles?
You mean as a way to remember the Beis HaMikdash?
Exactly.
Well, according to this view, they would still be lighting. The question I have is, who would be lighting, when would they be lighting, and what would it look like? Meaning, it wasn't, if you're lighting it to remember the Beis HaMikdash, presumably you're not doing it just, 8 days at the end of Kislev, right? You'd be doing it all year long, or once a year, on Tisha B'Av, I don't know how you would do it. In Tishrei, when the Beis HaMikdash was dedicated, I don't know what this looked like. No one offers some sense of what it was. But that's what they seem to be contending, is that, there was actually a practice of lighting the menorah to remember the Beis HaMikdash. In of itself, that's not so strange. We have all sorts of Zeichel HaMikdash practices. But it would make for a very different form of Judaism, I feel like. If you think about it, something that visible as a Zeichel HaMikdash, like the Zeichel HaMikdash practices that we have are either very subtle, very localized in terms of their time of year, or people don't realize that they are Zeichel HaMikdash. So for example, we count the Omer Zeichel HaMikdash. That's our Sfiras HaOmer. People don't think about that. They think we're counting from, it's our mitzvah. Look, the Torah says you shall count. We're doing it to remember the counting that went on in the Beis HaMikdash. Our count is not that. We take the lulav all 7 days of Sukkot, not just on day one, because they did it in the Beis HaMikdash. We're remembering the Beis HaMikdash, but most people don't think of it that way.
Well, if it takes it a step away from the feeling, meaning we translate it to the actual feeling like they had in the Beis HaMikdash, and this, what you're saying, is removing us a step away from there.
By
making it less meaningful. By saying that it's relevant, you're just doing what they did in the Beis HaMikdash.
I hope that doesn't make it less meaningful. It just gives it an additional layer. That's the way I would look at it. Yeah, I don't mean to say, it therefore has no Sukkot meaning. It has no, Omer meaning. They didn't pick random things. They did it with particular practices. But at the same time, what you would have in this case is something which I think it would be so glaring. It's really different from the other Zeichel HaMikdash cases that I'm describing, right? The other ones are, you're taking something which is a mitzvah, which has psukim and all that, for everybody to be doing, and now you're continuing it because they did it in the Beis HaMikdash.
And not linked to a holiday? It would just be a practice that's not linked.
Yeah, just turn on lights in
their house. We all had menorahs in our house, Shabbat candles, and somehow designate for menorah lighting.
I'm not really clear on what they're proposing, because that actually, I didn't think about it, but that actually creates a problem. The Rambam writes, you're not allowed to build implements that are modeled on those that they have in the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to create a seven-branch menorah. There's some discussion about that. Is that only in shul? Is that outside of shul? Don't worry about it.
I know my mother had two candelabras at one time. Some big rabbi or shul came and saw them and told her that
is a problem that they were seven. So she had like one of them. She had the
one
that like, she made like a decorative like.
Mm-hmm. Where does this come from?
So the Rambam does talk about it. I believe his concern is primarily in a shul. But I don't remember it right now. So when I send out the follow-up later, Belinda, I'll send out this also about the seven branch. But if you really were doing this as a commemoration of the Beis HaMikdash, then you should presumably you'd have a problem. You're now doing menorah, especially because. I mean, the essential commemoration, you could argue, is what goes on in shul. Mm-hmm. We dafka have that. It's an interesting problem. But this is all stage one. This is all stage one in terms of the reason to put Hallel in Hilchos Hanukkah. Is Hallel is essential to Hanukkah, as opposed to Pesach, which has a whole Seder and Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Yeah, put Hallel here. But more than that, Hallel doesn't belong in Hilchos Tefillah. And Hallel doesn't belong in Hilchos Yom Tov because there is a particular aspect to Hallel that, as it relates to Hanukkah and from there to Hallel when it's said on many other occasions. But Hanukkah is a good basis for this. Let's start with a classic question. First day of Pesach. Whole Hallel or half Hallel?
Full
Hallel. Second day, outside of Israel, fine. Beyond the first day / here 2 days of Pesach, Hallel is whole or full or half?
Half.
Half, right? It's a half Hallel once you get past the opening days. Why is that? Why does it stop being a full Hallel? So one answer, Goldie notes, is the Mitzrim died in the sea, and therefore it's inappropriate for us to have a full singing of Hallel. That is an idea that's mentioned in the Gemara. However, that only applies to day 7, when they're drowning in the sea. That doesn't say anything about day 4.
Maybe Chalavad is just less of a holiday than day 7, so if you take it away from the 7th day, you have to downgrade.
Do you? I mean, I would think the opposite. You want to make a point that day 7, because they drowned, that we're going to say half Hallel. I would make a point of it. Right now, people don't realize it, because they're saying half Hallel on day 4 also. Not that I've ever heard. Yeah. Remember, Sphira is a happy time. It's during this period of the Omer, we have these 33 days that are sad days, whenever they exactly are. But Sphira is fundamentally... You're building up to bring the Bikurim. You're building up to Matan Torah.
Right, so I didn't need Sphira. I meant ready to keep the students dying.
Right. But we don't even know that they died then. Yeah. And with the Hallel practice would have predated them.
It's a Dragana.
Yeah, but it's before them. Yeah. So take a look at your sheets. Number 5 brings what Goldie mentioned. As the Egyptians chased the Jews, the Pasuk says, V'lo karab ze el ze kol halayla. One did not draw near to the other all night. And the Midrash is really bothered by that language. It seems to be redundant in the Psukim, and it also uses the magic word Zeh El Zeh, which is a phrase that we know as, from Yeshaya, a reference to the Malachim when they sing the Vakara Zeh El Zeh. So the Gemara says it's actually talking about the Malachim and how they wanted to sing when Hashem drowns the Egyptians. And Hashem says, you can't do that. Masa yodai tovim bayam ba'atem omer shira. The work of my hands is drowning in the sea. You want to sing? That's not said there regarding Hallel. That's a general statement. However, the Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo brings this as a reason not say a full Hallel at the end of Pesach. That's one explanation. However, second explanation is in the Gemara in Erechin in source number 6. Maishna bechag ve'amrinan kol yoma u'maishna bepesach de'lo amrinan kol yoma. Why is Sukkot different, right? On Sukkot, you say Hallel every day, full Hallel. Pesach, you don't say full Hallel every day. Dechag chalukin b'karbon oseyan. The answer is on Sukkot, each day has a unique karbon. Right? If you remember the way it works, they have 13 bulls in one day, and 12 bulls the next day, and 11 bulls, and so on down. And so each day has a unique karban with a unique joy of bringing a special karban. Whereas Pesach ain chalukim b'karban hasein, it's the same karban every day of Pesach. You don't have that kind of celebration. So very different way to look at it. There's also a third explanation, which is found in the Psikta de Rav Kahana, which suggests that it's because you're nervous on Pesach about judgment for the year's grain. Whereas on Sukkot, even though you have the judgment for rain, you're happy about having survived Yom Kippur. So there's greater joy on Sukkot than there is on Pesach. It does not explain, you know, Shavuos, when you're being judged for the fruit of the trees. Apparently we have less of a concern for that. I don't know. Looking at these two reasons for saying the half Hallel on the latter days of Pesach, which one is the right reason? So Rav Aaron Kotler has this beautiful idea in Mishnah's Rabbi Aharon. He says there are two types of Hallel, and that will correspond to the two explanations. The Gemara in Erechin in source number 7 has an interesting question. Why do we say Hallel on Hanukkah at all? Before this line in the Gemara, they talk about saying Hallel on days when you're not allowed to do work. And they talk about saying Hallel on days that have a special karban. Hanukkah, you're allowed to do work. Hanukkah does not have a unique karban. So why are you saying Hallel? And the Gemara answers, Mishum Nisa, because you had a nes, because you had a miracle. That's why you say Hallel on Hanukkah. And the idea that he expresses here is that there are two fundamental motivations for Hallel. One motivation for Hallel is Chag. Chag, in its most basic definition, there's a celebration in the Beis HaMikdash, you bring Karbanos. Chag doesn't apply to Hanukkah. Does apply to Sukkot, let's say. The other reason to say Hallel is a reaction to Nes. It's a reaction to a miracle.
Like Hodah.
Like Hoda'ah, but more than Hoda'ah, as we're going to see. You're right, though. That's where that's going. That's why I need two reasons to say a mini Hallel for the end of Pesach. For the fact, because the Egyptians drowned, we were saved. So you have an ace. Also, you have Karbanos. So we answer, first of all, in terms of the nace aspect of Hallel, that's not so relevant because, after all, the Egyptians drowned. As for the karban aspect of Hallel, it's not such a big deal. You brought the same karban yesterday. So the two reasons correspond to the two types of Hallel that you have. No. What Hallel, which is for karban, and Hallel, which is for nace.
And if you don't have both, you say half Hallel?
You say half Hallel, yeah.
But I feel like the answer is still not strong enough. Why isn't it with Pesach? I feel like it's weakening the point.
What do you mean?
Giving those two reasons, Hallel should still be written with the...
Oh, written in the laws of Pesach.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we'll get there.
Okay.
We're not quite there. The Hallel of Hanukkah is unlike the other Hallels that are associated with special karbanos. Because the Hallel of Hanukkah is the only one, until you get to the 20th century, I'm not discussing Hallel Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, as much fun as that topic is. But historically, until you hit the 20th century, the only time that you said Hallel, and it was purely about a nes, was Hanukkah. All the other ones had a karban. We don't say Hallel on Purim, right? Megillah counts as Hallel, whatever, but you don't
has a nes.
Right, but you don't say Hallel on Purim. That's the point. Hallel here is only about the nes, and because of that, that defines the religious experience of Hallel that we have. It is a response to nes. What does that mean? Zgmar Pesachim, which I brought you here in source number 8. It talks about the fact that there are some chapters of Tehillim that start Le David Mizmor, and there are some that start Mizmor Le David. So he says there's a difference. The David Mizmor, Melame Shesharsa Alav Shechina Ve'achakach Amar Shira, teaches that first the Shechina was manifest on David, and then he sang, Li David, Hashem came to David, and therefore he sang Mizmor. Mizmor Le David, on the other hand, is because sometimes you need to first sing in order to bring yourself to a level where Hashem will be manifest. So you start, and then Hashem will come, because you've generated that state with the passion of the Mizmor. So sometimes Hashem triggers it, and sometimes you have to. When Hallel is a response to Chag, right, to the Karban, then it's L'David Mizmor. There's an external event. The external event, the Karban celebration, leads you to sing. On Hanukkah, and days when you have a nes, then the song comes from you. It's you spontaneously singing. You start the celebration because of what you witnessed. It's your gratitude. That's one piece of it. But now Rav Aaron Kotler has this other idea which goes with this, in number 9. He says, Af masha ha'adam ro'eb be'inav, me'atzorech leva'er la'atzmo mashahu ro'eh v'likbo'a b'hakarazo. Even that which you see with your own eyes, you still need to digest. A person needs to interpret that which he sees and establish it in his mind. Meaning, if you go through an experience and you don't think about it and you don't process it, you don't do something with it, it's gone. And when you try to recapture that moment, you try to recapture that feeling later on, it's much harder. We need to process. That's true in learning in general, right? When you learn things and you have to speak and you have to write and all that, that's how you learn better. But in terms of the nace, you need to process the experience. And if you don't, the result is later on. It's like, well, what exactly happened? And maybe it wasn't really a miracle, right? You essentially teach yourself how to view the nace by saying Hallel. So Hallel after a nes, after a miracle, is about developing emunah in Hashem as a result of the experience. If you think about it from when they cross through the sea, right? Az Yashir, right? Ba'aminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe Avdo, Az Yashir Yisrael. They believed, and then they sang. The singing was a means of responding to this faith, to the emunah, and putting it into practice. If that's what Hallel is on Hanukkah, it's not tefillah, right? It's not a request for something. It's us reacting to an ace. It's us reacting and processing the miracle. That's really what Hallel is for when it's a response to an ace. And maybe that's why the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Hanukkah, because that's the most pure presentation of this. Granted, you also have the Hallel that's the response to a Karban, that still exists, or part of the celebration of a Karban. He does talk about the Shira of a Karban in the Laws of the Avoda. But here he's doing the Hallel as a response to a Nes, which I would add one more component to. The Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Yud Ches, which I brought you here in source number 10, has this very odd line. I remember the first time I saw it, I really noticed this, and I was like, oh, wait, that's funny. He's talking about the Seder. So you have a Pesach Dvar Torah here as well. The Tana Rabbanan, they taught the following, Revi'i Gomer Olavas HaHalel. The fourth cup at the Seder, you complete Hallel with it, Ba'omer Hallel HaGadol. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, you say Hallel HaGadol. Hallel HaGadol is the Kili Olam Chasdo paragraph, right? That's called Hallel HaGadol. And that's what we do, right, in our Seder. However, there's another view. That's Rabbi Tarfon. V'yesh omrim Hashem ro'i lo achzar. Some say, Mizmor Chav Gimel from Tehillim, Hashem ro'i lo achzar. That's a really interesting choice. Most people, when they think of Mizmor David Hashem ro'i lo achzar, think of what? A lot of people might think of Shalosh Shabbos. But certainly people who unfortunately spend time at funerals, it's the funeral song. It's the standard Tehillim that said at a Leviah. Every time I talk about this, Gemara reminds me of my first shul in Rhode Island. One of the funeral homes in town had on the wall, like behind the speaker, they had the English translation of Mizmor David Hashem Ro'i Lo Achzar in big, like, you know, gold leaf letters on the wall. And one of my things that I used to do was I would always, when I did Tehillim at a Leviah, I always did it in Hebrew and in English, because not everybody there, you know, knows and understands the Hebrew. And I got up there without even noticing these big things on the wall behind me, and I did my own translation, which didn't match what was on the wall behind me. And I'm sure they're all thinking, like, what is he doing? Is he translating something different? But that's, it's the funeral song. Like, that's what it is. So how can you be doing this at your Seder?
But when did it become the funeral?
So that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that.
The Seder. Maybe it just evolved much later.
Maybe. But I think that the idea behind choosing Hashem Roi Lo Achsar is because it's about Emuna. And that's what it is. It's Hashem taking care of me. That's the theme of, bless you, that perek. And the Marshal notes in number 11 that's the theme of all of the prakim in Hallel. The prakim that we sing in Hallel are all about belief in different aspects of what Hashem does and what the Torah teaches. You see it there. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, creation, Matan Torah, Tchias HaMesim. That's what it's all about. So to me, first of all, it's a side note, but it's an important one. We take Pirsumei Nisa very seriously in Halacha, right? Publicizing miracles we take very seriously. So seriously that the Gemara says that if somebody is broke, nonetheless, they should go get tzedakah in order to be able to light Hanukkah candles. Now, that's how important it is that we publicize the nes. A person should not learn Torah during the time when we're now getting ready to light candles, because you can't potentially delay the lighting of the menorah. We consider Pirsumei Nisa important on a very, very high level. Why? Because it's of its importance in digesting the experience of the nes. Granted that we didn't see it, so for us it's not the same as like someone actually saw the nes and now is processing it. But that's the process. That's what we're trying to accomplish, so that the second reason for the Rambam to put the laws of Hallel in Hanukkah. Right. The first reason was because the laws of the first reason to put Hanukkah, the laws of Hallel in the laws of Hanukkah, was because that's the main mitzvah of Hanukkah. That's the one that they enact right away. Whether you say that Chanukiah starts later or not is almost beside the point. But that's number one. And then number two, the second reason is because Hallel is that reaction to the nes when it appears in Hanukkah more purely than it is on any of the other occasions when you have a karban as well. And the Rambam wants to highlight the Hanukkah nes relationship. That would be the idea. Which, now, taking it one step further, is why the goal of singing Hallel, when we sing it, is to direct our processing of the nes. Like when we say Hallel on Hanukkah, starting, you know, on Monday, like that's what we are supposed to be thinking about. And I think that changes the feeling when you actually say Hallel. I had another piece on here, but rather than go through that, which is interesting in its own right and you know, worth reading when you get a chance, I would also just very briefly note, and maybe one year we'll do this as a shiur before Hanukkah, but Ma'oz Tzur does that as well. People make the mistake of thinking that Ma'oz Tzur is just, you know, some jingle or some, wrong word for this time of year, fine, just some song. But we've been singing Ma'oz Tzur for a very long time. It's not as old as Haneros Halalu. Haneros Halalu is Masechet Sofrim, which, you know, makes it, I don't know, 1300, 1400 years old minimum. But one of the students of the Trumas Hadeshim, Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein, who was a rabbi back in the 14th century, recorded his Rebbe's practices, the Trumas Hadeshim's practices. And he talks about what he used to sing at the Shabbos table. And he mentions that the Trumas Hadeshim would sing Ma'oz Tzur at the Shabbos table Friday night on Hanukkah. So that tells you how old this song is. I mean, 600 years people have been singing Ma'oz Tzur. But when you look at Ma'oz Tzur, which part of it talks about Hanukkah?
The last part of the Greeks.
Yeah, Yevanim, right? You know that we generally attribute Ma'oz Tzur to an author named Mordechai because the acronym, right? Ma'oz Tzur Yeshuasi, that opening paragraph, is a nice introduction about how Hashem has saved us, but it doesn't actually mention anything about Hanukkah. The Reish paragraph talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Dalet paragraph talks about what?
The Fear of Hashem.
Show, right? Babel, right? Coming out of Galus Babel. Then you have the Chaf paragraph, which is about Haman and the Persians. And then Yud is Yavanim, right? And then Chasam Zohar Kachacha is about Edom, and in any case isn't originally in Moses' Zohar. But at least that's what's understood to be. But why is it that this song becomes a Hanukkah song if it's got all these other occasions in it? So making a long shiur short, and maybe at some point we'll talk about it, but what you're doing is you're positioning Hanukkah as part of a pattern of times when Hashem has acted on our behalf. That's what you're doing. It's the same theme of processing the nes, and in this case putting it in context, so that the Jew who sees this, you know, miracle which occurred way after all the other nisim, after the closing of Tanakh, right? Tanakh is closed for centuries before Hanukkah ever takes place. It doesn't get the same treatment. Will nonetheless understand this is part of a pattern. You know, we're in trouble, others have attacked us, and Hashem takes care of us. So it's part of the same processing of the nes that we do with Hallel and Hodah. More to be said about that, but perhaps some other
thing. Hanukkah, like, epitomizes the concept of reacting to a nes with Hallel and Hodah.
Yeah.
With, like, any form of tefillah, so to speak.
Yes. I mean, we use the parakim that we've been given for that, but yes. That's why also the Rama writes that there is no obligation to have a Sehuda on Hanukkah. However, he says, if you sing songs to Hashem at your meal, then it becomes a Sehudas Mitzvah. Now it does. Why? Because of this Hallel Vahodah. Yeah. That's what you're
accomplishing. Sometimes we say Hallel for an ace, but it's also always for a korban. I feel it's the only time that's only...
That is uniquely about an ace. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.